I've only once spoken in public before. And I told my testimony of how I got saved. It took me 3 hours. Tonight, I'm not going to do that. I'm giving a personal testimony about God's faithfulness to me and answers to prayer. So I hope I don't go that long. I would like to start with God's faithfulness, just how He is always there for us. What goes beyond answered prayer, things that we don't even know or think to pray about. I was raised to hear about faith all the time. My dad lived by faith. He always talked about it. And my brother, Timothy, did the same. I always heard them talking about the times God answered them, their prayers, how He provided and different things. And I felt God asking me to do the same, and I just didn't quite have the faith to step out and do it. I just kept putting off, saying, God, you know, I'm not ready for that right now. And I just felt Him keep asking me, you know, can't you just trust me? I will take care of you. And I was just afraid to do something daring. And I felt like God put me in a situation where I had no other choice. And suddenly, my health completely failed to the point where I wouldn't be able to get out of bed for 2 weeks at a time. And so I couldn't really hold down a proper job because I couldn't work very well. And obviously when I was that sick, I needed more money than anybody has. I had no idea what was wrong. Every doctor I went to couldn't find anything. I was fine. But yet I was so ill, I couldn't do anything. I had a job at the store at that time. I started working there when I was 18. This is so far back, I don't remember exactly. I started out with a day a week. I might have been up to two or three at that time. I wasn't working full time. And we pretty much ran the whole store at that time by ourselves. So if I was too sick to go, I would just wake my mom in the morning and ask her to work for me. And that way I never had to call in sick, so I wasn't getting fired for not showing up all the time. They didn't really care who was there, and my mom wanted full-time work, and she only had a couple days herself, too. So if I was too sick to go, I would just have her work for me. And we didn't ever work on the same days, so it wasn't a problem. So here I was, basically dying without any money or any way to get any. And I never wanted to ask my mom for anything. Finally, one day, I hinted to her that I needed to go in and find out what was wrong. My dad had died like 3 months before I became really ill. I had been kind of sick that whole year. And we got a lot of money from people just sending little gifts. So basically, my mom spent all of that on me trying to figure out what was wrong with me and just basically keeping me alive. So in this situation, I didn't really have a lot of bills except for my car insurance and stuff like that, that I had to pay. And of course, I would never tell my mom that I didn't have the money to pay for it or ask her for it. I didn't feel like that was right. So at this time in my life, nobody had ever given me a dime. I didn't have any reason for them to, you know. I had parents that took care of me, you know, before that, and I didn't need anything. And it's easy for us to think, you know, nobody's ever helped me with anything. Why would they now? But that's the first thing I'm going to talk about is money here. This was a few years ago. I remember three instances that stood out to me very plainly. You know, the Bible says, give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. So I had another friend who was kind of in the same situation as me. She was very, very sick, and she needed to go to the doctor, so we were pitching in to send her some money so she could, I don't know if she was going to a special kind of doctor, well, I don't remember it at the time. Anyway, I gave her $40, which was probably about all I had. I probably had 20 left at that time or something. I basically didn't have anything. And at the same time, we had gone on a trip, all of us young people together. So we were supposed to kind of help pay for the gas. There was a bunch of us, so gas was cheaper then. I gave $5, and I kind of felt like I owed, and that was a pittance. So I feel ashamed that that's all I did. But that's really all I had. Anyway, I still remember the night. We were up in Brandon's old house in Brown Street. We had gone up there for one of our kids' meetings. And when I got home, I just found a lot of money in my purse, just stuffed randomly in there. And I was like, what's this? I don't own any money. I never have any. And it was just a bunch of random bills crumbled up. I count it, and it's $90. And I'm like, you know, where did this come from? Why would somebody give me $90? That's a totally random number. And it clicked in my mind, you know, that's exactly double of what I gave. Who added that money? God did. I had no idea where it came from, who would put it there. But he knew what I had given. It was very good, great encouragement to me at the time. And I'm just going to talk about all this stuff because it was a while ago. It was right before Crystal was born. Timothy and Nikki were very poor at the time. And they were just starting off in married life and with a business that was not prospering very well. And they needed money for a midwife. So I wanted to help give to them, so I gave them $30. We usually take up a collection together. So like everybody, you know, we just put it in the envelope. I remember that was the amount I had given, and again, it was basically all I had. And like the next Sunday, somebody walked up to me, handed me $60, and I, you know, was kind of embarrassed, just stuffed it in my pocket, didn't think anything about it, and I hate people having to give me things. And after I went, after church, I was going out to my room and counted it, and it's like $60 again, kind of an odd number. You know, you're usually going to get 50 or something. And I'm like, oh, I just gave 30. It's exactly double of what I gave. A while after that, I don't remember how long, I gave somebody 50. I don't remember who it was or where. And I went to bed. I found $100 on my pillow. Just random things would happen like this. Like, who's adding up the money? Who is seeing what I do? God knows exactly what I'm giving, and he knows how to pay me back. I was often going to the clinic to get blood drawn for tests and stuff, and they don't ever charge for it. You know, I would go to, my doctor would send me there, and they just take the blood, and you pay him for the test. But this one time I went, they told me I had to go to the over to a certain desk and pay. I was like, okay, this is weird, and kind of panicked because I didn't have any money. I never carried money with me. I basically never had anything. And it was $12. They said I owed, and so I opened my purse immediately and had exactly $12 in it. So I went and paid it, you know, feeling a little frustrated that I had to pay this. So it's like probably all I had. And but thankful that God knew exactly, you know, He knew that they were going to ask it of me, and He knew how much I had to have in there. Shortly after that, I got it back. They sent it to me, said they had made a mistake, and sent it back. So I'm not sure why they told me I owed it. Maybe it was just so God could show me He was there for me that day. I have had that happen to me so many times, I cannot count them, I cannot even remember them, where I have gone randomly into a store and I will have to the penny. When I get up to checkout, I'll have to the penny what I owe in my purse. Sometimes I have more at home, I just don't carry it with me. Sometimes that's probably all I had. I remember, I think it was this winter, I went to Golden Harvest to go shopping and went to every island store, and I was stocking up on stuff, so I was had a cart half full, and I was just feeling like I had overdone it a little bit. So when I got to the checker, I took two things of meat and put them back in the cart, and I'm like, add this up first, give me my discount, tell me how much it is. If I don't have enough for these, I'll put them back. And it came to the penny of what I had in my purse. To the penny with those things I left out. And it just shocked me. I was like, you know, who walked through the store with me and helped me pick out what I picked? Who was adding my groceries for me? How did I know which two things to leave out? I mean, God was there beside me the whole time. When my insurance bills would come due, sometimes I had the money for it, sometimes I didn't. I often remember going to my room and crying my eyes out and just begging God, you know, telling Him I don't have the money for this, you know, you need to help me. And every time somebody would give it to me, usually my mom, I would find a note on my bed with some money in it, I thought you might need this or whatever. And when I had the money for my insurance, she didn't give it to me. And I never told her. I never said a word to her about when I did and when I didn't. God's the only one that knew. I have had the privilege to work at Golden Harvest for 13 years, I think it's been. And large amount of the time I have been the supervisor in charge of the store and the people, and I have seen over and over again how God so perfectly is there taking care of everything down to the smallest details. I remember especially, I noticed a very early time, every single time Timothy and Nikki left and went anywhere, we would have twice as much business for the day. And I happen to be superstitious kind of myself, probably more so than I should be, so I just, you know, it was just the thing that would happen. If Timothy and Nikki were gone, I knew we were going to have a busy day. It would be double what we would normally have, and I didn't know why, it just happened every time. But one day it clicked in my mind, why? Usually when they left, they were going shopping. They needed extra money. And they probably didn't have the money they were spending when they were gone. So one time they went to a wedding. And yeah, it was a Saturday, which are usually our busiest days, and I was expecting to have a really busy time. And I was in the back bagging. It was really slow. I'm just like, you know, what's going on today? Why We don't have any customers here. And it finally hit me, you know, they're not spending anything today. They're just enjoying friends. They don't need anything extra. I have also noticed that if we ever have extra people at the store, somebody will call in sick that day. It often happens when we don't. But I just noticed, you know, sometimes I'm stressing, okay, I don't exactly know what I'm going to do with everybody today. I feel like we have an extra person, and somebody will always call in sick. We do. Some days we have people randomly ask for an extra day. It just happened a couple months ago. Two people asked if they could work on a certain day that weren't on the schedule. We're usually behind, so we're like, sure. And two people called in sick that day. So we had exactly what we had scheduled for. You know, we can't foresee things like that, but God knows exactly what is going to happen every day, and He's there ahead of us to take care of it. For a while, I felt like God had a hedge around me, like nothing I did could, I didn't want to say fail, because that wouldn't be the right word. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but it was just like, I wouldn't exactly even pray for the things. I didn't even know that they were going to happen. Like, particularly one of them. I'm very scatterbrained sometimes and set my alarm clock for p.m. instead of a.m. or something. And every time I do that, I'm a very sound sleeper. Nothing wakes me up once I'm out. I don't hear people get up. I don't hear people leave. I will sleep through anything, and sometimes I can sleep till 7 or 8 in the morning. So I'm supposed to be to work at 7. So if my alarm doesn't go off, I'm not going to wake up. But I've noticed every time, sometimes I forget to set it or set it for the wrong time, something will happen to wake me up at the moment I need to get up. I'll randomly wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm wide awake and praying that I'll go back to sleep and can't sleep for anything. Finally, I'm like, you know, it feels like it should be after 6. I look at the clock and it's 6:15. I'm like, what? I should be up by now. I can't say how many times that's happened to me where God obviously was there and woke me up by a tremendous crash in the house or just some unseen. I'll just wake up and can't go back to sleep for no reason. It just showed me that He is always there taking care of me. I don't need to worry about forgetting to set my alarm. In fact, sometimes I just take a nap and say, God, you know, I need to sleep. You know how much time I need, and wake me up when I need to get up. You know, I need to be up at such a time for this, and you know, I don't know how much sleep I need and how much time I need to get ready. Just wake me up when I need to get up. And He does. And I go to sleep and I don't worry about it. I remember one other day in particular where it was last summer. I was struggling a lot, and I felt very hurt. I was having a very hard time working at all, being there because of different things. And every day when I would go to work, I would just cry out to God to be with me, to hold my heart, to protect me. I don't even remember all what I would say. But I just felt, you know, I needed his presence every minute. And especially that day, I was feeling very self-conscious and hurt. Didn't want to be around anybody or see anyone. First thing that happens is I open the fridge in the morning and an avalanche of containers fall out on the floor. I mean, an avalanche. And not one of them split open. I'm kind of like, okay, that's really weird. I'll just thank God and put them away. Then I was eating lunch at the store. Coming down the stairs in the back and feeling very self-conscious about myself at that moment and carrying all my stuff. And, of course, there's customers walking by everywhere, and I'm kind of glossy. Drop my fork. I'm cringing. You know, I don't want them to. I was going to go crashing down the stairs and hit the cement floor and make a big scene. And so I'm standing there cringing, and I don't hear anything. And I'm like, what? I look down, and and kind of a raggy skirt that had embroidery on it that was all coming undone. And the fork had caught right in one of the pieces of thread. So I was like, okay. And again, I felt God's presence there. You know, he knew how I felt inside. I probably would have cried if it hit the floor at that point. he was there. Nobody else could have made that fork go there. A little while later, that same day, I was stocking the shelves, and again, I dropped a jar of baby food. They're very easy to drop. They're hard to hang on to. They're small, and they go in small places. I'm expecting a big chatter. You know, it's almost time for me to leave work and a mess to clean up, and it hits my shoe and it gently rolls on the floor without cracking it. By that time, I had lost it. Doug was standing next to me. I'm like, Doug, what's going on? I mean, what's happening? Why can't I break anything? Nothing will go wrong for me. I don't remember what he said. I think he said something about how much God loved me. And I realized, you know, God is there with us every minute, every second of every day to protect us, to just care about whether we feel embarrassed or not, whether we're feeling hurt or not, whatever it is. I don't remember if I had exactly prayed that day. I think I was, you know, praying every day just that God would be with me. I don't remember a particular prayer that I would have prayed to not drop my fork. That is what I call, you know, beyond prayer, something I didn't ask for, something I didn't deserve, where God just watches over us and takes care of us in the smallest details. Then I'm going to move on to specific answered prayers that I have had. I was talking about how I was afraid to trust God, and I learned through some of the first experiences that God would take care of me. You know, people randomly started giving me money all the time. And I suppose they knew I needed it, though I wouldn't ever say anything to them. Since I have gotten somewhat better and have a job, people don't give me money anymore. I don't need it anymore. You know, God knows exactly the next time I will. and he'll be there. And I don't, so many people try to have everything perfectly taken care of that they don't ever have to worry about anything. You have your retirement plans, you have your Social Security, you feel safe with so much money in the bank, and you know, it's really all just worthless. God could take it away at any moment, and you're missing out on life's greatest blessing when you don't live by a day-to-day basis of trusting God for the next thing you need. He tells us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. It's hard for Americans to even understand that because we have freezers and cupboards full of it, and we don't even know what hunger is. We don't even know what it means to trust God for our next step. But I learned through all of the sickness I went through how much I could live without, how much I really didn't need of what I thought I did, and how he was there to give me what I did need. Some of you will remember when we lost the house we were living in, and we looked for a house for months and could not find anything that was remotely suitable for us or that my dad could afford. We ended up living with my grandma for a while and packing all our stuff into a storage unit. And my dad was talking about moving to Colorado, which is where he always wanted to be. And I was really upset about it because I didn't want to leave my Lancer. And he was really discouraged, and we basically tried everything. And I just remember one day, I remember the exact spot in the road we were on. We were coming home from church. And I was just thinking, you know, God owns everything in the world. He owns all the money in the world. Why don't I just ask him to give us a house? I mean, how hard is it going to be? So I just said, simple prayer, God, you know, give us the money for a house. You know, I was thinking some $50,000 house, some nice thing. My God's plans are not ours. He answered our prayer with about my prayer with about half of that. And a house that was absolutely filthy, that we had to plug our nose to run through. First time we checked it out, it was disgusting. There was piles of stuff everywhere. We had to rip the carpets out and completely clean it. But he gave us a house. That's what I asked for. And we didn't need anything better than that. It was a very small house at the time with two very small bedrooms. So my dad bought a trailer house put out back of it where he could store his books, and we slept out there. Some of us slept out there. But it was kind of hard, especially being so ill and in the winter, having to trade back and forth. And my doctor was really yelling at me for going outside. But a particular time, I had pneumonia for 2 months, and I almost died. And he's like, you should not be going outside at all. I'm like, well, I have to. I sleep out there. I mean, so I was feeling the desperation to be in a real house, not having to trip outside in the middle of the night, 30 below zero outside, whatever. So again, I just went to go out and ask him to give us the money for an addition. And my grandma gave us $5,000. She was dividing up some of the money she had between her two kids. So she gave my mom $5,000 she was going to use on the addition. We had calculated it all out, and we thought it would cost us like $3,500. We were completely wrong. It ended up costing us way more than that. But when we were half finished, my grandma decided she hadn't given enough, and she gave us $5,000 more, and we used it all. You know, we didn't know we were going to get that. We didn't know we were going to need it, but God was there. He knew how much to give us. He knew that we would need it. He knew that it would be there. I started learning that I could do anything and trust God for it. I didn't have to worry about having the money ahead of time. I didn't have to worry about what was going to happen on the way. We wanted to take a trip to Massachusetts to visit some of our friends, and me and my three sisters were going to go. And I knew I didn't have enough money to cover the trip. But I wasn't worried about it. We just made plans and went. We were going to be staying in a motel for a week, which can be kind of expensive, and then the gas to get out there and buying all the food and stuff. And I'm like, you know, we'll get some on the way. It'll be fine. Let's just go. You know, they all had, we were supposed to, you know, give our even share. And somebody gave us an envelope of money the night before we left. And our grandma gave us money for gas, and we stopped at her house. And I don't remember what else, but I basically got home with nothing. I'm like, you know, I wouldn't have made it if I hadn't been given extra. I'm just telling random little answers to prayer that I've had. I'm obviously not going to tell you all of them. Some of them are too personal to talk about. But just those little things that mean so much to us that we don't even need. You know, one of my favorite verses is Mark 11:24. I better turn to it. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Basically, in my own words, what I get out of this is God is saying, ask me for what you want, and just believe I'll do it, and I'll give it to you. When we were younger, there was a certain girl that we kind of flipped over. She was our idol. She was our everything, to a fault, actually. We kind of looked at her in a way we probably shouldn't have. She wasn't a Christian girl, but we just thought the world of her and did everything in our power to see her every minute and pray for her constantly. And she got pregnant and had a baby. And of course, the only thing, I was also babysitting at the time, and the only thing I could think about was getting her child to watch. I'm like, I've got to have him. I've just got to have him. And I already knew that she had plans to take him to a daycare. She told us about it, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed that we would watch him. It just wasn't happening. And finally, one day, she worked at the gas station. At this time, I was driving by the gas station. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to ask God in simple faith that she will come and ask us if we want to. I'm like, I've been stressing, I've been praying about this, and I'm just not believing. I just said a short prayer, God, you know, I just pray that she would ask us. I don't remember exactly what I said. Very shortly after that, I was working at the store. My mom comes rushing in, barges the bathroom door open. And it's like, do you want a babysitting job? I'm like, no, not unless it's for Ian. She's like, it is. And she said she'd go into the gas station and Gwen had asked her if we wanted to babysit him. Of course, I was tickled pink. He was the sweetest kid you'll ever meet. But it was more precious to me the fact that God answered me. Just the fact that it wasn't even something I needed, just the fact that I wanted to watch that child. One other thing that I remember, a few years ago, there was this particular guy that I kind of liked. Wasn't a big deal, but kind of liked him a little and kind of thought he liked me a little. And I would miss him, so I would. He didn't live in Rhinelander, but not too far away. I would ask God to bring him down on a certain day, or just say, you know, God, I really want to, I just want to see him. I would pray that he would come down for church on Sunday. And I remember particularly, I've been praying that one Sunday he would come, and where's Lydia? I guess I'll talk about her when she's gone. I spent a lot of time with Lydia at this time. We were good buddies then. And he randomly showed up on Friday night. And she's like, he's not going to come on Sunday. He was just here. I'm like, well, maybe. I asked God to bring him on Sunday. Randomly Sunday afternoon, I don't think he called, but somebody else called, and they came down together to visit us. And then another time, he was going on a vacation for 3 weeks, and I was kind of worried about it, you know, wondering who he might see out there, and I knew I would miss him when he was gone. I wanted to see him before he left. So it was like 3 days before they were leaving. What are the chances that I'm going to see him before then? So again, I just randomly asked God that I would be able to see him before he left. And he called like a night or two before they left and came down. You know, every time I saw him, I liked him less. And it was weird. I think I more just, at that time, maybe liked his attention. And he would leave again, and then I would miss him. And it would be like, then I would ask God to see him again. And then I would see him, and I'd be like, I really don't like him. I don't want to see him again. And to me, it was far more special, the fact that God answered my little whim that I had, than the fact that I actually got to see him. Because I guess I really didn't like him that much. Basically, there isn't anything that I won't pray about or ask God for, whether it's what I should make for supper that night or what I am looking for. I constantly am losing things, hunt the whole house for. I'm like, God, you know exactly where this is. Just can you show me where it is? Before I hardly even begin to pray, it's right there. One time in particular, I remember I was writing a letter to somebody, and sometimes I have total, complete mind blank where I cannot even remember how to spell the word put. I don't even know what it starts with. My mind will just go. So I'm trying to write system. And I can hear the I sound in it, but I knew I was wrong. I'm just sitting there, system, and had no idea. You know, nobody's home, otherwise I'd just scream, Mother, how do you spell this? I could have gone up and got a dictionary, but I was kind of lazy. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, God, how do you spell system? I'm sitting there, you know, probably like this, whatever, and you know, when you shut your eyes, you see these colors, these floating colors. I saw this little Y drifting down the air. And I'm just staring, and suddenly it clicked. I'm like, yes, that's it. It was very special to me. God told me how to spell it. I just sending that visual picture in my mind of a Y. On the more serious side of things, a while back, some of the guys in our church started working for a mechanic shop that played bad music, and I was kind of upset about it. Not sure, you know, feeling like they were compromising on their standards maybe a little because they wouldn't stand up to it, and having to have them be blasted with that music all day long. But yeah, I didn't want to, you know, I didn't know it was right. I felt like we were losing the fight that, you know, says I won't listen to this. You know, they were willing to work in a place that had it. So I was kind of upset about it, but at the same time, didn't myself know what would be the right option to take, and didn't know that they were necessarily wrong. So I just started praying that the owner of the place would turn the music off. I just started praying that he wouldn't allow it there anymore. And I don't remember how long it was. I think a few months, maybe even a year. He got converted and turned it off. You know, that was only a little thing I was asking for. Maybe I didn't have the faith to pray for his conversion, but it happened. You know, I was praying for what I was praying that he would be saved too. But it's those little things that sometimes fail to ask for. Maybe we think they're too small or they don't matter. There was a particular girl also who I have prayed for many things. Each step of the way, when I see her doing something I don't approve of, you know, I had been through it with her 100 times, you know, arguing about her dress, her jewelry, whatever it was that I felt was wrong. And she did not have the heart to listen. So I quit talking to her, and I started talking to God. I'm like, I started praying about it, and he changed her to the point where she gave it up. She also got converted. You know, we sometimes might not have the faith to pray for something really big. But what I want to do tonight is just encourage all of you to pray. Pray for everything. Pray for everyone. Pray for the little things, whether if it's just that somebody will have a good day. Those things matter. When you pray for somebody else and they change, then they can pray for somebody else. You know, and the circle keeps going. I don't think that we realize how important prayer is and how we can change history by prayer, I believe. God says you have not because you ask not. You know, we can't all be a Martin Luther, but we can all pray. We can pray that God will make one. We can pray for other people. I just read that his parents prayed for him while he was growing up, and they taught him to pray that he, in particular, would spread the truth. you know, they were very proud of him as a son. They wanted something great out of him. They had no idea what he would become. Their ideas were probably much more worldly. They wanted him to go to college and become something. But they did pray for him that he would spread the truth. And it is said of him that it took three printing presses, constant service to publish his materials that spread all over the world. You know, I like to think of Joshua on the battlefield. We may not be on the battlefield and think that we can't do anything. We're too sick to be out there. We're too shy. We're too whatever. But everybody can pray wherever you are and whoever you are. You know, in Exodus 17:11, Joshua was fighting the people of the land. Who was really winning the battle for him? It says in 17:11, "And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." Now Joshua was out there on the scene fighting the battle, but Moses was up in the mount interceding. Without Moses, Joshua would not have won. You don't have to be the preacher. You don't have to be anything but a prayer warrior. That's what we're missing. We need people praying for our pastors, praying for our church, praying for our parents, praying for your friends, praying for your neighbors, whatever anybody needs. Moses wasn't the only one in the mount. Aaron and Hur were also there. Moses couldn't have made it without them. Maybe you're too weak to even pray. Maybe you just need to encourage the person who is. They were there holding up his hands. He was too tired. So tonight, I would just like to encourage you, whatever you're facing in your life, God is bigger than. Whether it's a mother who you can't control, who's out of control, who's hurt, whether it's a father who abuses you or yells at you, whether it's a brother who annoys you, a sister who needs to be converted, a friend, your church that you're worried about, or a situation, you can fix it through prayer. You need to, first of all, be surrendered, because the only way you can come to God in faith is if you have a surrendered life. It's when we're trying to do this stuff on our own and fighting about it that we come to God with this clenched fish fist and worry. You know, God, you have to help me. I can't do this. It's when we surrender and let go and say, you know, God, I really can't deal with this. I just need you to help me, that he will be there for you. Whatever the situation is, ask God to help you through it. He's bigger than your parents. He's bigger than your husband. He's bigger than anything. I once had a friend who didn't have a very loving mother. She was always crying to me about it. She just wanted a mom who loved her. And I felt terrible for her. You know, I was there for her. She knew I loved her, but she didn't want my love. She wanted and she needed a mother's love. So one day I just said to her, you know what? She is the only mother you're ever going to have. You need to put everything you have into her. You need to pray for her. Instead of just crying all the time about it, take her to God in prayer. Pray for her. Pray for her struggles. Pray for her problems. And it had very sound impact on her. And she started praying for her. And I believe her mother was converted. And she's a completely different person to this day. Now, I have, hope I haven't given you guys the wrong impression that I've had a rosy life and God answers all my prayers, because it's not been so at all. In particular, I haven't realized there's certain things that I struggle with and struggle with and struggle with, and I just don't seem to really break through. And I'm very private of a person. I don't like talking to people about my problems and my struggles, telling people what I'm going through. But I realized, you know, there's certain times when you need the help of somebody else to pray for you. You need to go to somebody else and tell them what's going on. Most of you guys know Nita. I miss her very much. She was my prayer partner. We got together every week and prayed when she was here. And every once in a while, I realize, you know, I'm up against a brick wall again and I can't get through. And I pray and I pray and I just think I want to do this on my own. And I couldn't break through. I would finally go to Nita. Sometimes I wouldn't even tell her what I was struggling with, but just that I was. I'd say, you know, I'm having a problem. These are my symptoms that it's causing, and I want you to pray for me. She would pray for me, and it would be over. That has happened so many times. In fact, I did it once while she was away. This past year has been one of the hardest of my life as far as trials go, including not being able to go home for about 3.5 months because I was so sick I couldn't live in our house. I don't know what exactly was bothering me, but something in the house. So I was kind of tossed everywhere, having nowhere to live, and I hate depending on other people. Most other people's houses I couldn't live at either because something there was bothering me. So I ended up kind of barging in on my sister. I don't know if she was too pleased that I was there. And staying there for a long time. I was talking to Nita on the phone. I said, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. Like, we need to pray for each other before we get off the phone. I'm like, I just want to go home. And I think it was 2 weeks later, I was home and completely fine. I still don't know what happened. I went to not being able to stay there for longer than 30 minutes without being completely strangled to being totally fine there. Because I asked somebody else for prayer. So if you're struggling with something, don't be afraid to tell somebody. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Go up to somebody and say, hey, I need help with this. Can you pray for me? It's so much easier than trying to fight the battles on our own. So often we live through things 10 times that have never happened once. We are worrying and stressing about tomorrow. God says, as your day, so shall your strength be. He does not give you strength for tomorrow today. You don't need to worry about what is going to happen tomorrow. I have learned also from working at the store that when something happens, I'm going to have the strength for it. I used to be kind of upset because every single time I had a day off, I was sick. The entire day, I couldn't get out of bed. And I was like, you know, I was kind of frustrated. Why am I sick every time I have a day off? I'm like, I don't ever get anything done. And finally something clicked in my mind and I realized, you know, God is giving me the day off that I'm sick on. He saw ahead. He knew when I was sick. I don't have to miss work doing this. God is completely protecting me and He's planning my schedule. That was back in the days when I randomly got any day off. Now I pretty much have the same schedule. I would also look at my schedule for the week and realize that I had been scheduled for some ridiculous 50 hours or something. I'd be like sick with a horrible cold or something. I'm like, there's no way I can work that. And then I remember, you know, God scheduled me for this. When it happens, I'm going to be able to do it. And but when it would come around, I would be completely fine and I would go through it without problem. But so many times we make ourselves sick by worrying about tomorrow. That God is not going to give you strength for tomorrow until it comes, and it never does. You just have today. As your days, your strength shall be. He only gives us strength for the day we're facing. I have two last things to close with. I'm not going to go forever. One thing that very much impressed me was when I heard the story of Moody's daughter. She had always wanted this big doll, nice big doll, and one day he decided he wanted to buy it for her. So he took her to the store and told her she could pick whatever doll she wanted. But she went to the shelf and she picked a little tiny China doll. And it just sets for decoration. And I don't think he said anything to her. He bought it for her and he's like, you know, then they got home, he's like, why didn't you pick the doll that you always wanted? He said, I wanted to buy that for you. And I don't remember the story of what she said, but after that, she wouldn't choose anything. She would say, Daddy, I want you to choose. And, you know, I think that is how our faith is with God. We are afraid to ask Him for what we really want, so we take the little thing we don't. And we don't want to get to heaven and find out that what our lives could have been like if we had dared to ask. We don't want God to come up to us and say, you know, why didn't you ask me for what you wanted? I would have given it to you. Because we only had the faith to ask for a little bit. He told David, you know, if this hadn't been enough for you, I would have given you so many things. I don't remember the verse, you guys probably know it. He's like, you know, if this hadn't been enough for you, I would have given you such and such. You had just asked me for it. So I would just like to encourage you all to have complete trust, confidence, faith in God. Ask Him for what you want, exactly what you want, and also be surrendered. You know, God doesn't just hand us everything we want. I have been praying for a particular thing for 2 years now, and it's just one of those little things that I want, and He will not give it to me. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know if He doesn't want me to have it, or if maybe I'm not trusting Him for it, or I don't know. But I wanted it bad enough that I told Him, you know, I'm not going to stop asking for this until You give it to me. If You don't want me to have it, then I thank You for not giving it to me. If it's something that's actually going to harm me, we need to be surrendered to His will in what we're asking. Maybe some things that aren't good for us, and He knows that. But don't be afraid to ask for exactly what you want. If you need your mother converted, if you need your father to stop abusing you, if you need a relationship healed, if you need strength for the day, if you need your brother or sister converted, you know, don't go by the faith of other people. They may not have it. They may tell you it's too big. But as far as I'm concerned, if you have a problem, God can fix it. I don't care what it is. I have one last song to read that struck me very much. How much we need God be with us all the time. It's called I Can't Even Walk. I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without holding. But I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I had done a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all on my own. I thought of myself as that woman who can, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I think I'll make Jesus my one and my all. From now on, when I'm in trouble, only his name I'll call. And if I can't trust him, I'll be less of a man, because I can't even walk without holding his hand. Chorus. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, I learn to stand, and I can't even walk without you holding my hand. That's all. Are we dismissed?